This is your AEW Dynamite review here on the Solid Monster Sounds of YouTube channel for December 4th, 2019. I am the Solid Monster, Dynamite tonight from Champaign, Illinois. Let me see everybody in the chat. Type 1, 2, 3 if you are with me right now. This is an episode of Dynamite coming off the lowest rated AEW Dynamite yet. If you remember, I said last week on the podcast, whatever the numbers are for both shows, it is the busiest travel day of the year, before one of the biggest holidays of the year, so you can throw it all away and wait until the post-holiday show. Even still, I'll bet AEW wishes they could throw that number away from last week, just 663,000 viewers. That's down a whopping 26% from the week prior, and that is less than half. Here's sort of the alarming thing. That is less than half the 1.4 million that they scored for their premiere back on October 2nd. That is an alarming drop, and NXT was down as well, not as dramatically. They notched their second straight victory over AEW, 810,000 viewers. NXT ate AEW's lunch. But really, I mean, with AEW, there's no positive way to spin those numbers if that continues. AEW got its ass handed to them, as well they should have, with NXT coming off a month of exposure on Raw and SmackDown and a win at Survivor Series. You know, this was always going to be the question. Did all of that NXT exposure pay off? Was it going to lead to new eyeballs on Wednesday nights? Because if it did, mission accomplished. We'll know the answer tomorrow when the numbers come in for tonight's shows. I think I am more looking forward to these numbers for the people who care about the ratings. I'm more looking forward to tomorrow than any other day that the numbers have come out since October 2nd when this whole head-to-head thing started. I think tomorrow is going to tell the tale of where things stand with these two promotions. As far as Dynamite tonight, on the whole, I thought it was a good show. It was better than last week. By no means the strongest episode of Dynamite yet. But I thought on the whole it was a good show. They moved some stories along. There were some good matches. I think the women, in all honesty, I think the women's match may have been the one I enjoyed the most out of everything on this show. So we're going to get into all that in a second. Polls are up and open right now at Solid Monster on Twitter. You can vote. Which show did you think was the better show of the two? Or just vote in one poll or the other. What'd you think of NXT? What'd you think of AEW? For those of you who may have flip-flopped and watched both shows. Or, you know, we've got people listening to this review right now who didn't even watch. They just want to get caught up with what happened. So they're listening to me. Welcome. Hit that sub button if you haven't already done so. Hit that thumbs up. I sure would appreciate that. And as you all know, each and every week, Super Chats are open, including Russo on a pole for $10 or more. Shout out to Justin, who had a Solid Monster sign at the show tonight, although I don't think it made TV. He did DM me earlier just to let me know. Always a good rule of thumb to get your sign noticed, whether it's my sign or someone else's, is to do it on some kind of bright background. It's even better than white. Do it on like a yellow, or like a neon green. That way it stands out more. It's like that guy, that WWE fan who's always in the front row, always wearing neon green with a little soul patch. Ugh. I don't know his name, but he's there every freaking week. Every pay-per-view. Every show. I'm not talking about the long-haired guy with his grandmother. I'm talking about soul patch guy. That might be the only shirt he owns. But before I get into everything here, I do have to mention this. I missed the first few minutes of Dynamite, so I went back as I got home late from work. And I went back, and I watched the opening match. And for, I don't even know how many weeks in a row now, because I had other people texting me. I had my friend, and Noah, many of you know Noah, he texted me the same thing. Are you experiencing audio issues? And I got the message before I had started watching the show, and I said, oh boy, not again. And I watched the show, and sure enough, now it resolved in about 10 minutes. But yet again, audio issues. at the beginning of the show. And I'm not sure if these audio issues are coming from the AEW end as far as their production, or if this is coming from TNT. I mean, TNT handles the production for AEW, so I'm not really sure who is responsible or who is to blame here. Is it AEW? Is it TNT? It almost doesn't even matter, because it all rubs off on AEW. This is inexcusable. You are 9 weeks into this Dynamite run on TV. You have had 9 episodes to fix this. There should not be audio issues every single week. What is this, like a Mickey Mouse operation here? What's going on here? Now, some people said that the audio was fine. Other people said it was horrendous, which makes me think maybe it is a TNT issue if there's different feeds. Again, I don't know who's responsible. They got to get this shit fixed. This can't go on like this. You can have audio issues at the beginning of the show every single week. It's embarrassing. So they got to get their act together, figure out what the hell's going on, because there's no excuse. There's no reason that this should still be happening. I'm sorry. So Dynamite opened tonight with Dustin Rhodes and the Young Bucks against Santana, Ortiz, and Sammy Guevara. This was all action. 3 power slams by Dustin Rhodes and a crossbody at one point. And then he hit Santana with a destroyer for a near fall. The old man had his working shoes on tonight. Boy, did he ever. Now, later in the match, Sammy just cannot stop vlogging. He is addicted. Grabs his phone right in the middle of the match. Goes up to the top rope. Now, the whole time he's holding his phone in his hand. He comes off the top rope with his phone in his hand. And as he comes off the top, he gets caught by a double super kick by the Young Bucks. So Matt and Dustin, they each pick up Santana and Ortiz. They've got them in pile driver positions. Sammy's down on the mat. Nick Jackson's up on the top rope. Hits a missile drop kick into Matt and Dustin. That causes them to drop the heels with pile drivers, stereo pile drivers. Meanwhile, Nick Jackson falls on top of Sammy, and he scores the pin. So basically a 3-way indie taker. I thought it was a cool finish. I thought it was a hot opener, which is, you know, the way that I think you want to open the show. I see Murphs. Thank you for the super chat. He says, when did Canadian destroyers become transition spots? It seems to be happening all over wrestling in every promotion. You're not wrong about that. We are on the same wavelength as far as that goes. I am not a fan of the destroyer becoming basically just another move. But what are you going to do? You know, it's happened so often now. And honestly, I mean, it happens in WWE too. But I actually feel it's more of a problem in AEW. There's the shark. Every time we get a new subscriber, you're going to see the blue shark. I love the blue shark. Not as much as I love CubeBot, but I like the blue shark. But I agree with you 100%. I wish that wasn't the case. I really do. But it's happened so often now that it's just going to continue. And it means virtually nothing at this point. I mean, that used to be a move that you would see it and go, wow. And now you got fucking Ricky Morton out there doing destroyers. Ricky Morton! What is he, 63? Doesn't look a day over 73. When Ricky Morton is going out there doing destroyers, you have officially jumped the shark. Oh, we just saw a shark. We have officially jumped the shark. So we had another good matchup next. Rey Fénix and Trent Barretta, who we were told on commentary is no longer Barretta, but I'm still going to call him that because old habits die hard. And no, I'm not talking about Robert Blake. Tough crowd. The biggest thing I noticed about this match, it was a good match, but the biggest thing I noticed about this match was the crowd did not seem to care no matter what these two did. And at one point you could see Fénix, he's like clapping, he's trying to rally the crowd into it, and they just don't care. This was not one of the more boisterous crowds. And look, if you are a resident of Champaign, Illinois, and I am incorrect about this, hey, I apologize, but that's the way it came across on TV, especially in this match. People really just didn't seem to care. They did pop for the finish. At least I hope they popped for the finish and not the fact that the match was over. Fénix did a springboard double stomp to the floor at one point. He tried for a springboard attack of some kind off the top. Trent got his knees up and hit a stuffed pile driver for a near fall. Pop-up cutter by Phoenix, rolling kick, connects with a muscle buster, and gets the pin. And the other thing I noticed here is that these two continued their fight, continued their brawl after the match was over, as they were going to commercial break, and never a single mention by the announcers. Just one of those things that gets ignored. We got a lot of these commercials, a lot of these picture-in-picture things tonight. I'll talk more about that after. We had Cody, the chosen son. Cody comes out. Yeah, that's right. Thank you for reminding me. Orange Cassidy was out there, and he was a non-factor. Didn't do anything. Useless. Cody out for a promo in the ring with Tony Schiavone. Cody, he mentions the attack by the Butcher, the Blade, and the Bunny. It's still the funniest part of last week. Yeah, I talked about it when I did the stream last week, but I just went off on it on the podcast on Sunday because I was able to play the audio, which I can't do here on YouTube, but I can do whatever I want on the main podcast. And I played that audio back again, and it was even more ridiculous than I gave it credit for last week. And Jim Ross went on Twitter. He was answering fan questions. And people were saying to him, you know, what, this doesn't make any sense. How does Excalibur know who these guys are? Obviously, he knows their names. He doesn't explain how he knows them. And according to Jim Ross, who basically threw his broadcast partner under the bus and then put it in reverse and backed up over him, he said, yeah, that wasn't really supposed to happen. We were both supposed to have, you know, no idea who these people were. We weren't supposed to identify who they were. But Excalibur went and he called them by their names. And it was just funny listening to Jim Ross basically agreeing with every critique that fans were sending him about this. But what more can be said? I mean, it's just one of the funniest yet stupidest things we've heard yet on Dynamite is listening to him say, the Butcher, and Jim Ross going, who? And he goes, the Butcher and the Blade. Have we seen these people before on AEW TV? No, we haven't. Okay, and? Oh, that will never not be funny. So he mentions them and then he moves on to MJF. He says, you know, I saw something in MJF when nobody else did. And thank you, Yukio Rules, Cubebot on a pole. Thank you for the $10 super chat. He saw something in MJF when nobody else did. He said, I knew MJF was a bad guy, but he was my bad guy. He said, MJF says that he'll never fight him, and Cody obviously made the promise that he'll never challenge for the AEW championship ever again, which in hindsight was really stupid, because nobody believes that to be true, so they're going to have to find their way out of it. Cody really wants his hands on MJF. He says, look, name your price. Name your price. You want my truck? I'll give you my car. You want my watch? Hey, this was a gift from Tony Khan. You can have my watch. You want my red shoes? Not to be confused with Red Shoes from New Japan. You could have him too. Or, if you want cold hard cash, and he calls on Justin Roberts to bring his Halliburton into the ring, and he shows us what he claims is $50,000. In cold, hard cash. He even pulls one of the $100 bills out and says, here, give it to the little boy in the front row to prove that it's real. He says, name your price. So that was the whole promo. He wants his hands on MJF. They're going to do the slow burn with this. You know, I was thinking earlier about their pay-per-views. They announced a deal with In Demand that guarantees a minimum of 4 AEW pay-per-views annually through 2021. But they still haven't announced when the next pay-per-view is going to be. We still have no idea when that's going to be. Whoa! Low-key! Low-key Agatha with a $20 super chat. Thank you to Low-key. I see that animation caught me off guard there in the chat. Thank you, Low-key. But I think Low-key should be Cody's tag team partner. They announced a tag team match for next week. They said the Butcher and the Blade had chosen QT Marshall to be Cody's partner in a tag team match next week. Have we even seen QT Marshall on Dynamite yet? Maybe we did. We may have. Maybe I just don't remember. I think he may have been in one of those battle royals, maybe on one of the pay-per-views, but I don't believe we've seen him on TV yet. Who the hell knows who QT Marshall even is? I mean, I know who he is, but do most people even know who QT Marshall is? All of a sudden, he's going to be Cody's tag team partner. See, this to me, as random as it is, this just reeks of a setup with Marshall joining whatever their little faction is. That would be my guess. Otherwise, I'm not really sure what sense any of this makes. Laxus Dryer, thank you for the $9.99 super chat. Says, honestly, I can listen to Cody cut a promo any time of the day. I got to give Cody his props. You know, he has really built himself up as the top babyface in the promotion. And you can criticize and say, well, you know, he's one of the founding fathers of AEW. He's management. He's an executive vice president, so of course he's going to be the top star. Just because you're the EVP doesn't mean that the fans are going to buy you being the top babyface. But he goes out there every week, and the reactions that he gets, the promos that he cuts, is just a cut above everybody else, almost everybody else in that company. I mean, he has basically made himself a main eventer, and the people have bought into it. The people love this guy. He gets a superstar reaction every time he comes out. And his promo work, yeah, I was going to say his promo work has improved, but, you know, think about the first time any of us saw Cody Rhodes. Think back. If you're a WWE fan, when was the first time you saw Cody? It wasn't in the ring. It wasn't teaming with Bob Holly. It wasn't in Legacy. It was at the WWE Hall of Fame. When his father, Dusty Rhodes, was inducted into the Hall of Fame, it was Dustin and Cody who did the induction. They were on stage with their father. And that was the first time that I ever heard Cody even speak publicly. And I remember thinking even then, man, this guy's pretty articulate. I didn't know if he was going to go on to become a big star or anything like that. But you could tell right from the word go that this guy, you know, verbally speaking, he had something about him that not everybody has. And it was obvious even then. So to see him kind of become that top star, to become that top personality, and really become one of the biggest promos in wrestling. If you made a list of the top 5 or the top 10 great wrestling promo people, wrestlers, of 2019, how do you not have Cody on that list? How do you not have Cody in the top 3? Who else is in front of him? Maybe he's not number 1 on your list, but I don't see how he's not top 3 or top 5. We had another Dark Order video. They may have, the short of it is, they may have murdered the heavyset guy that they've been featuring in some of their earlier videos, who has tried to join them. He was the guy on the train a few weeks ago. He was the guy sitting in on one of their meetings and looking them up on the internet. So they were out in the forest somewhere in the woods. And I don't know if this was some kind of initiation or what it is. It looked like they were just murdering the poor guy. See, that's what happens. That's what happens when you join a cult. He gets what he deserves. Will Robb, thank you for the $5 super chat. Very upset that John Morrison re-signed with WWE. Imagine John Morrison in AEW. Ponder on that, Orange Cassidy. Well, not only am I going to ponder on that, if you remember, many, many months ago, we were talking about Morrison on my podcast, I said the best destination for him, I thought, would be AEW. He'd have a much better chance of being one of the top guys in the promotion had he gone there. And I really thought that he would end up there. And then the rumors started that he was signing with, or he had already signed with WWE. Now it was official. It was made official earlier today by WWE that he signed. And his big debut is going to be next week on The Bump. That's his big debut. WWE has this internet show called The Bump that's hosted by Kayla Braxton. And John Morrison is going to be their guest. So, you know, you try to be optimistic about these things. You know, what's his ceiling? What do you think his ceiling is in WWE? Where do you think he should end? I'm going to talk more about this on Sunday, but I'll just spoil it now. I think the SmackDown brand is the place for him to go. I think he ought to be on Friday nights, not Monday nights. But what is his ceiling? How high can he go in WWE? How big of a star do they see him as? I could see him challenging for the championship at some point, but just as another challenger. I really don't think that... I don't see him going above, let's say, the U.S. or intercontinental level. It just didn't seem the last time he was there that they valued him in that way. Yeah, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. Maybe this time will be different, but I still think that AEW, I agree, I think that would have been the better place for him. Nyla Rose against one of the librarians, Leva Bates. Leva. Nyla won with the Beast Bomb, quick match, basically a squash. Peter Avalon was out there, he tried to interfere. He ended up killing them with a double choke slam. So then, after the match is over, Shanna runs out. Now this was after they had shown us footage before of Nyla attacking Shanna at a pre-show meet and greet. Shanna comes out, she gets power slammed for her troubles. Then during a commercial break, Nyla powerbombed referee Rick Knox and Shanna through a table that she had set up in the ring. We found out later on, Jim Ross mentioned that Nyla Rose has been suspended from in-ring competition after her actions here tonight. So I don't know where this is going. I don't know how long she's going to be out for. You know, maybe she's hurt. You know, this was a nothing match. I mean, she didn't really have to do much. She had done commentary, I think, this past week for AEW Dark. I got some not-so-great reviews of her commentary on Darks. Anybody in the chat who may have watched Dark last week, you can chime in and let me know what kind of commentator Nyla Rose was. Maybe she's hurt. Maybe she's going to be out for a while. Maybe she's nursing an injury. I don't know. But anyway, that's the storyline. She has been suspended. Chris Jericho and Jake Hager of the Inner Circle were out next. Jericho said that he has sold 10,000 bottles of bubbly in its first week, which is a shoot. Apparently, it's selling very well. So, for the time being, anyway, anything this guy touches turns to gold, except the ratings last week. He says that he is contractually obligated to defend the AEW Championship one more time in this calendar year, but this time he gets to choose his opponent. He says he will defend the championship on the final Dynamite of 2019, coming up on December 18th, which means that the Christmas Day, I don't know if there's a clip show maybe that they're going to air, or if they're just not going to air a show at all, but there will be no Dynamite on Christmas Day. They are giving their people that week off, which is nice. So the final Dynamite is on the 18th. Thank you, Ian Israel, with the $10 super chat on a poll, bro. Do you think AEW will last into 2021? I do. You know how? You know how I know this? Because they have a contract with in-demand pay-per-view. They are contractually obligated to deliver at least 4 pay-per-views a year through 2021. So yes, they're not going anywhere. So Jericho says, listen, I have a list of all the people that I refuse, and I will not be defending the AEW title against. And people cheered as soon as he said list, like sheep. And he said, listen, that's so 2016. No. This is not a list. This is the lexicon of Le Champion. And on that list, Cody, John Moxley, the Young Bucks, Papa Buck, Uncle Buck, great movie, Diamond Dallas Page, Adam Page, Too Cold Scorpio, any member of the Scorpions, John Moxley, the chubby guy in the fifth row with the popcorn, the dumb guy with the glasses in the third row, Moxley, Darby Allin, Alan Jones. That was funny, I will say. I would think most people got that AJ Styles reference, but Alan Jones, he mentions Moxley again, so you could see where this is going. I mean, by the end of the show, you could see where this is going. Sean Turner, thank you for the $2 super chat, brother. Appreciate it. He's going to AEW next week. Look for number with 469. All right. So out comes the Jurassic Express, Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, Marco stunt. Jericho says, I wasn't done yet. Dinosaurs and little children are also on my list of people that I will not be defending the championship against. And Luchasaurus grabs a mic. He starts grunting. And then I started grunting. I said, oh, come on. Really? They're not going to let this guy speak. And then he started speaking like a normal human being. He even bet that Jericho didn't know that he's got a master's degree in medieval history. He says, of course, you won't defend the championship against dinosaurs. Our kind has been marginalized for 65 million years. I'm so happy that they let him speak normally and not grunt like an idiot. But he said, I'm not out here to pitch a match for myself or Marco stunt. And that's when Jericho realized, wait a minute, he's talking about Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy wants a title match with me. And he called Jungle Boy right to his face. He called him a piece of shit, which was very rude. He says that you couldn't last 10 minutes with me. So Jungle Boy grabbed the mic out of his hand. Jungle Boy is like a toothpick. I was looking at this guy and I'm like, he's like a toothpick. It's like if a giant gust of wind were to suddenly blow in, Jungle Boy would be gone. Forget about it. Like in a tornado, he would be history. But we should all be that thin. Jungle Boy grabs the mic. He says, I know I could last 10 minutes with you. And I'm going to kick your ass. And then he slapped Jericho and all hell broke loose and the heels bailed. I think it's very smart for them to promote a championship match for that December 18th Dynamite. Because that is the Dynamite show that is going to be in Corpus Christi, Texas. Because tickets are said to not be moving well at all for that Corpus Christi show. And why they would even run Corpus Christi, as I love to call it, and you guys know why. Why they are even running that city, I have no idea. That is one of the quietest wrestling cities when it comes to crowd reactions that you will ever see. A very odd choice for them to run Corpus Christi at all. But tickets apparently aren't selling very well. So they've gone ahead and they've announced the championship match. And we'll see if that makes a difference in the next few days. If we read about tickets all of a sudden picking up, then Jericho's a draw. And apparently the AEW title means something. And if not, well, that ain't good. But apparently they're doing two straight weeks. Well, I guess they were in Chicago last week, right? Tonight they were back in Illinois. So that's 2 weeks in Illinois. Next week they're in Garland, Texas. And then the week after that, they're in Corpus Christi. So they're doing 2 weeks apiece, I guess, in the same state. I don't know if that's a pattern or just a coincidence. We had Chris Statlander against Hikaru Shida. They were tag team partners in a losing effort last week. Opponents here tonight. Statlander, according to Excalibur, wanted to challenge the top woman in the AEW ranking. Well, I mean, the top woman outside of Riho, who is, of course, the AEW Women's Champion. I thought this was very good. And actually, this probably was my favorite match in the entire show. And they got the crowd into it. Unlike that Phoenix match with Trent, they were really into this. And that was a tough thing to do in front of this crowd. You know, again, that's just the way it came across on TV. Maybe in the building it was loud, but it wasn't always like that on TV. I told you, Statlander is somebody to watch. I sang her praises last week, and I think the week before that, she and Shida, I thought, delivered big here. There was a Michinoku driver towards the end by Statlander, got a two count only. Then she hit the Big Bang Theory, which is a cradle tombstone. Got the three count for the surprise win. I really enjoyed this. And then, the lights went out. Now look, WWE does the same thing with The Fiend, right? Lights go out. Is it just me? Now, AEW's had 9 weeks of television, which is not a lot. WWE has had years of television. But in 9 episodes, and I'm not even counting their pay-per-views, how many times have the fucking lights gone out like this? Now, this was more for an entrance, so I can almost excuse it, but it got me thinking, like, how many times have they done the gimmick here in this company where the lights go out? And then they come back on. It just feels like every week with this lights out gimmick. Give it a rest. Lights go out. Out comes Brandy and Awesome Kong. Brandy takes, she has a microphone already in her hand. She gets in the ring and she cut this promo that sounded so rehearsed. She's talking really quickly and all these big words, and we make up the Nightmare Collective. We're part of a grander family. This just sounded goofy. And she's looking at Chris Statlander, who's still in the ring. And she says to Statlander, listen, join us. Join us. Be part of what we are doing here. She says, pledge yourself to the Nightmare Collective, which I guess is going to be the new name of their group, I guess. And before Statlander could give her an answer, there's a mystery woman. I didn't recognize her offhand. Maybe she's a wrestler. Maybe somebody recognized her. This unidentified woman is in the crowd, and she's not hopping over the barricade, but she's like trying to get their attention, like, oh, pick me, pick me. And she's trying to get Brandy and Kong's attention because she wants to join the Nightmare Collective. And so they willingly let her in. They let her, into ringside. She's begging to join them. And she lets them shave her head during a commercial break, which is ridiculous. I mean, I get they have to take commercials, but really? So that happens during a commercial break. Now I'm watching this, and I was going to say, this is just like a female straight edge society. And this woman is playing the part of Serena Deeb. But really, let's be honest about what this is. This is a female version. This comes off like a female version of the Dark Order. And I have no idea why they're running two of the same angles at the same time. I thought this was stupid. I didn't like this. Jacob Donnelly, thank you, brother, for the $5 super chat. Always fun to see Jacob in there. I think Jacob's in the chat pretty much every week. I know I see him a lot. So thank you, brother, for joining me tonight. Always good to have the usual Dynamite family here with us. Pentagon Jr. up next against Christopher Daniels. Daniels turns 50 years old in March. And he still performs at a very high level. I kind of compare him in a way to R-Truth. R-Truth is, what, 48? I'm sure somebody can look that up on Wikipedia and confirm it for me. R-Truth is also getting very close to the big 5-0. And I know he's doing all the goofy 24-7 stuff now, which is so played out, it's not even funny. I even pitched a serious angle for him on the podcast a few weeks ago. I said, look, I don't know when his time is going to be up. I don't know when he's going to want to hang up the tights or the pants. But I'd like to see him get one more serious angle and maybe get a run for the title. Not win the title, but they can probably do like a more serious storyline with him before it's all said and done, instead of him just doing goofy comedy crap until it's time for him to retire. And that idea was met with a mixed reaction, so I don't know how all of you feel about that. But here's Christopher Daniels, also performing at a very high level. Daniels, though, had a very bad botch here in this match. At least I think it was. Now, the announcers, to their credit, so what happened is Daniels went for the Arabian press, you know, where he bounces off the ropes into the, kind of like a moonsault almost. And he slipped and something happened. And he splatted face first, face down, on the ramp. So they had the elevated ramp to the ring this week. Usually they use that on their pay-per-views. They had the elevated ramp tonight from the entranceway to the ring. And he went splat right down on the ramp. And to the credit of the announcers, they played it off because he is coming off of a storyline injury. The Lucha Bros had attacked him many, many weeks ago, and he came back, and yeah, they talked about how maybe he came back too soon. So it's entirely possible that he did this on purpose, and maybe it was all just part of the plan and part of the storyline, but if it wasn't, I'll give the announcers credit. You know, you call them out when they do something that they shouldn't do or they say something goofy. And in a case like this, I think they enhanced the match by trying to play it off like it was part of the storyline. He was just feeling the effects of his injuries. He's not 100%, but it looked like a bad botch. And anyway, he rolled back into the ring. So Phoenix comes down after his win earlier over Trent, distracts the referee, Daniels gets the mic stand. It was laying in the ring. He tossed it away. But then he got caught. Pentagon with a low blow. And the package pile driver finishes it. Pentagon wins. There really could be no other outcome to this match. You know, the Lucha Bros have had a couple of losses recently. And I'm not saying they have to be undefeated. They can never be beaten. The Lucha Bros, though, are a special team. And the Lucha Bros, when they're in there with the Best Friends, or they're in there with even SCU. And I get that SCU is one of the more pushed acts in the company. I don't want to see the Lucha Bros losing very often. So there was no reason for Phoenix to lose tonight. There was no reason for Pentagon to lose. And I was happy to see both of them pick up wins. It was the right outcome. And then we had Joey Janela taking on Jon Moxley in the main event. So they're working on the ramp. It's about midway through the match. Janela hit a tornado DDT onto the ramp. Back in the ring a few minutes later. I want to say it was a released German suplex, but he threw Moxley backwards, and Moxley, the back of his head, clipped the bottom turnbuckle, which looked pretty nasty. Moxley rolls out to the floor. Janela follows through with a dive. Put Moxley through the timekeeper's table. I like the way they shot this. The camera the whole time was on Moxley. So Moxley rolls to the outside. He basically goes into the corner of the barricade by the timekeeper's table. They don't shoot Janela, so we have no idea where Joey Janela is until all of a sudden he flies into the camera view. And they go crashing through the table. So I thought that was cool, the way they shot that. Back inside, Janela hits the Shawn Michaels elbow off the top for a two count. Janela goes back up top. Moxley cuts him off and hits the Death Rider, the elevated Death Rider, for the win. Jericho in the Inner Circle, they're up in the crowd mocking Moxley's entrance and doing basically to him here at the end of this show what Moxley did to Jericho last week after his match, where he just popped up in the crowd, kind of distracted Jericho. They had a little bit of a stare down as they went off the air. And so Jericho returned the favor and did the same thing to him this week. And so the final parting shot is of Moxley staring off at Jericho and his cronies in the crowd. This is clearly, and you knew this from Jericho's promo earlier when he was saying he'll defend the title against anybody except, and he mentioned Moxley, you know, 5 or 6 different times. Clearly that is the direction they're going. If they're going to save it for the pay-per-view, I was saying earlier, we don't know when their next pay-per-view is going to be. Best guess, February, maybe March. You want to space them out? They're going back to Vegas, right? Most likely in May. Memorial Day weekend for Double or Nothing. If they're going to have, let's say, 4 pay-per-views a year, 1 per quarter, you're not going to have them back-to-back months. They're not doing a pay-per-view in January. We know that. They've got their Bash at the Beach episode of Dynamite. They're going to be on the Jericho Cruise. So it's got to be sometime in February. Maybe they'll hold off that long if they can. And do Jericho and Moxley at whatever that February pay-per-view is. Here's my question to you. When that day comes, and they do Jericho and Moxley, is it time to change the title? Do you put the AEW title on Jon Moxley? I love this reign that Jericho is having. I think he is just the MVP for any promotion at the moment. I think his just being in the position he's in has been so important for this company. And so I part of me still feels it's too early. You want to let it go on maybe even until Vegas in May. But I understand that's still a long ways off. But is Moxley the right guy? Or do you save it for someone like Kenny Omega? Should Kenny Omega be the one to take that championship off of Chris Jericho? So should it be Omega or should it be Moxley? I think that's really what the question is here. You know, it's tough. I could see changing it to Moxley and then eventually Omega takes it from Moxley because Moxley beat Omega in the Lights Out match. So this could be kind of long-term booking here. This could be Omega's big, it's kind of like Omega Okada. It took a while before Omega eventually beat Okada after losing to him, but eventually he got that sweet victory, won the IWGP Championship, maybe the greatest match. Some say the greatest match of all time. Certainly one of the best matches of the decade. So are they going to do a similar story here with him and Moxley? We'll see. Wouldn't be a bad way to go. Or this could all mean nothing and fucking Jungle Boy in 2 weeks could beat Chris Jericho and win the AEW championship. Fucking Jungle Boy could go into 2020 as the new champion. And then all bets are off. I give up trying to figure this out if that happens. I mean, look, I know Jungle Boy is over and all, but give me a break. Next week, it's a Texas street fight. Young Bucks take on Santana and Ortiz. And Cody teams with QT Marshall, talk about random teams, to take on The Butcher and The Blade. With the bunny in their corner. Who? The Butcher. Who? And The Blade. Have we seen these guys before? Never. Oh me. Let's take a look at these polls, shall we? I got two polls to show you guys. That's right. Solemn Monster After Dark, baby. Let's take a look at the first one. AEW poll, there it is. For tonight's Dynamite show from Champaign, Illinois. 73% thumbs up. 27% thumbs down. So a overwhelmingly positive response. Most people thinking tonight's show is at least good. Yeah, I don't see how you can give the show a thumbs down if you watched it just objectively. There were some really good matches on the show. The women's match was my favorite, but you had some good wrestling action. They did try to move some stories forward. Even if you didn't think this was the strongest episode of Impact, I at least think it was good. So to me, thumbs up makes sense. Let's take a look at where NXT stands. Even better. Now, how many votes did we have on the AEW one? 1,200, and on the NXT one we've got less. Okay, 767. But 79% thumbs up and 21% thumbs down. So a better average at the moment, although fewer votes. That seems to be the pattern every week. Fewer votes for NXT, but they are winning in the battle of the percentages so far. So we'll check back there. There's the AEW one again. We'll check back there before we end. I want to get into some of your calls here. Find out what you guys thought of tonight's show. We're not going to waste any time here. We're going to go right to, in fact, you know, tonight's show is in Illinois, Champaign. I believe we have somebody who is in Illinois. Area code 630. You're on the air.
Hey, Solar Monster. This is Mohammed from Chicago.
Hey, Mohammed. How are you? See, I knew you were from Illinois.
Yeah, I tried to call you last week, but it didn't work out.
Well, it worked out now. What'd you think of tonight's show?
To be honest, I love Jericho's promo. That was the best part of the show today. And also Cody Rhodes' promo.
All right. Well, was there a match that stood out to you, or was the Jericho promo the only thing you liked?
To be honest, Jericho's promo. Every week I just tune in for the Jericho's promo. Jericho. Oh,
wow. Okay. So you've got a very narrow focus as far as what you like here on the show.
Yeah, and I have a question regarding that. So I have only one question for you, which is, who do you think is the best wrestler right now? According to me, it's Chris Jericho, like the overall wrestler. Promo, wrestling, everything all together. Or is it Will Ospreay Jr.?
So at the moment, anywhere in wrestling, who is the best wrestler at the moment?
Yeah, overall.
Oh, man. Overall best wrestler at this moment here in December of 2019. That's tough. You know, Jericho, I think, has to be in the running if you're looking at the complete package, not just the, you know, in-ring matches. Because I'm entertained as shit whenever he's on TV lately, so I think he's doing some great stuff. But you can't discount, look, you know, New Japan still, I maintain, New Japan still has some of the best wrestlers in the entire world. And Will Ospreay is one of them. Okada's another. Omega used to be part of that package. It's just different now because he's not having the same kind of matches he used to have. He's not on television every week. So I wouldn't say Omega. But I think it's I can't narrow it down to one because I've got a few names floating around my head. I think Ospreay's on the list. I think Jericho's on the list. Funny enough, Jericho on the list. I'm trying to think in WWE. Is there any one wrestler at the moment on either brand that really stands out to me? I mean, The Fiend does, but that's completely a gimmick thing. It's not really a match thing. You know, I gotta be honest with you. I still think, and we saw this when he was in the ring with Adam Cole. People don't necessarily look at Daniel Bryan the same way as they did 5 years ago because he's just, I don't know, if he's just been around for too long or, you know, maybe because he's not always booked so strongly on TV. He's got to be in the conversation. Daniel Bryan is still one of the best wrestlers in the entire world. But if I look at the whole of WWE, including NXT, I think it's Adam Cole at the moment, at least as far as that company goes. I mean, look at the month this guy just had in November alone. With a fractured wrist, the kind of matches that he was having. So you can't go wrong with any of those names. Adam Cole, Jericho, Okada, Ospreay. They're all on the list. And that's Stone Cold's list. And I'm fixing to start running through all of them. Sorry. I lapse into this Austin 316 speech at random sometimes. Let's go to area code 980.
Hey, Saul Monster.
Who am I talking to?
This is Miles from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hey, Miles, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I thought overall the show was very good. However, I do have one complaint.
Okay.
I'm kind of sick and tired of Cody taking pot shots at WWE during his promos.
You
When
talking about
he
the
was
mention of
talking.
the Crossroads?
Yeah, when he was talking about MJF and talking about how now there's two people botching the crossroads, it just really didn't sit well with me. It's like, it just felt unnecessary.
Yeah,
Like, what does Damian Priest have like done against Cody? He hasn't done anything to him.
no, I just think he can't help himself, and I agree. You know, why even draw attention to the other company at all? It's silly, it's not necessary, he doesn't have to do it, but I think he just can't help himself. And that's all on him. I'm sure it's not anything that the company is telling him to do. He goes out there and he does it on his own. You know, you don't see anybody else on the show tonight going out there. They're all doing their own thing. Cody should just focus on his stuff. He should focus on The Butcher and The Blade and a little bit less on NXT. It is kind of silly. And by the way, you know, Damian Priest doing the Crossroads? I mean, has he badly botched it or something? Did I miss something? Because I've been impressed by what I've seen from Damian Priest. Damian Priest, I don't know. I didn't watch NXT, so I don't know who his replacement was. He was scheduled to wrestle Killian Dane tonight. And I don't know if it's a legitimate injury or a storyline injury, some kind of rib injury. He wasn't medically cleared, so they took him out of the match. So I don't know how that was resolved. But, you know, Damian Priest is a guy on the ascent in NXT. He's impressive, especially for a bigger guy, the things he can do. I haven't seen him, you know, with some kind of awful, horrendous botch of the crossroads. I think he's fine. So, Cody would be best suited, I think, to. I mean, look, he can do what he wants. It's his show. But I think he would be better suited to just stay focused on AEW and not worry so much about NXT. Let's go to our nation's capital. 202, you're on the air.
Hey, Solid Monsters. This is Garrett from DC again.
Hey, Garrett. Oh, Garrett. Garrett. Garrett's alive. Yes, Garrett.
Yeah, I decided to come back to life after seeing three demonic characters appear on TV tonight with the Butcher, the Blade, the Dark Order, and now the Nightmare Collective, or as I like to call it, the Hot Topic crowd for AEW at the moment. Well, I can like muster up Cody just, you know, making pot shots at, you know, NXT or Damian Priest, but when AEW is like running commercials, talking about how they're burying NXT in the first 10 minutes of Dynamite, they're having audio issues. It just makes it look like a bad look on the company as a whole for me, and it just like makes them look like Mickey Mouse, as you said, when they're having problems like that, and yet they're having the audacity to criticize a company that has all their, you know, audio and production issues in place. So
Yeah, no, I and thank you for the call. I agree, and that's one of the things. It's like, until you get all of your own business sorted out, again, the audio issues are inexcusable. And if it's not being caused by you, if it's being caused by someone else or TNT, then get your shit fixed. Make a phone call. Send an email. Figure out what the hell is going on here, because there's no reason that every week when they go on the air, whether it lasts, I don't care if it lasts 3 minutes or the entire opening segment, it doesn't matter. It's Bush League. It shouldn't be happening. You've been on the air for 9 weeks. So the last thing that they ought to be doing is going out there and making fun of or criticizing somebody else when they got their own problems. So I agree. It's just a bad look for them. Let's go to 954.
Salamonster, it's Mucho Macho from Fort Lauderdale. How
Mucho
are you doing, buddy?
Mucho Macho, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I have two questions for you. Number one, do you think AEW is biting from the well a little too much with the darker characters? With the Dark Order, Brandy and Kong, and the Butcher and Blade, it seems like the heel side of the tag teams are sort of very one-dimensional. What say you?
Right now it is. I mean, the Dark Order, I will say this, I've for the most part enjoyed these videos they've started airing, because at least now they're trying to give some context to it. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to explain to some degree what they're all about. They're kind of creepy, the vignettes. I mean, the one tonight was whatever it was, they're beating up this poor guy. But at least they're trying to dig into their background a little bit. So I'm okay with that. But yes, I agree. Like the Brandy thing tonight, she's out there like a robot, reciting all of these lines. It's like she's doing a play. I don't know, to me it just sounded completely forced and unnatural, and I don't understand why you would run two of the same angle simultaneously like that. Now maybe in the next few weeks they'll expand on this and it'll make all the sense in the world, but right now I don't like it.
Fair enough. Second question, do you think any of the Jericho stuff is a litmus for Kenny Omega to get the championship again? Because from what I'm seeing, no matter what happens via John Moxley or Jericho, he has beef with both people, but I think his story is that he gets his ascent to the top and gets the AEW championship. Do you think that happens sooner than later, or do you think that that gets withheld a little longer for the purpose of storytelling?
For Omega, you mean?
For Omega, yes.
Yeah, I think they'll take their time with it. I don't think it's anything where we're going to have Omega winning the championship in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months. That's why I think it's more likely, obviously they're going to go with Moxley. If they hold off until February, you know, let's say that they do a title match there, whoever wins, even if Omega was next in line, which would make sense, I don't have the rankings in front of me, but I have to assume if he's not number one, he's way up there. Probably Pac is too. You're looking at the earliest, I would say, for an Omega title win would be the end of May. You know, and even then, they might want to hold off until the end of the summer. So I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I agree. I think it's part of some kind of longer, larger story they're working on. And that title's going to come to him at some point next year, sometime in 2020. Let's take a couple more. We got another Illinois caller, 815.
Hey, what's up, Jason? It's EJ from Joliet, Illinois.
How are you?
Pretty good. Actually, I want to start off by saying I'm a little bummed. I'm a diehard White Sox fan, and we didn't sign Zach Wheeler from the Mets today.
When I heard about the price of the deal, like the dollar amount, I laughed my ass off.
So did I. And so seeing that, I'm very happy they didn't sign him. But it's a little disappointing.
Yes.
Anyway, not a baseball podcast, it's a wrestling show, so I'll get to talking about that. I actually went to the show last week, and I wanted to go again this week because I don't go to U of I, but I live about an hour south of U of I. That's where I go to school. But it's that busy time of year with finals, so sadly I wasn't able to go. But I think I made the right decision. I think I went to the better show last week. I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing. But I got to tell you, maybe just me growing up, I've always been so used to 12 pay-per-views a year that, you know, I always had something to look forward to, even if the show wasn't as good or not, or even if the show, you know what I mean? It's weird not being able to look forward to anything. It just, the pay-per-view seemed so uncertain, and that kind of bothers me. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
Sure. Appreciate the call from someone who was at the show last week, as he said, did not go this week. Shane Adam Hughes, as Bray runs away, thank you for the super chat. Says, after a long day of work in Australia, it's good to watch your weekly live streams. May not be much, but here's a small donation. Well, I appreciate every little bit, so thank you very much for that. Let's do one more, and then we'll wrap things up here. 469? Yeah, why not? Let's go to 469.
Hello?
469.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Is this Mr. Solomonster?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, I'm going to be at the show next week. I was thinking, I do agree with you that, yes, getting a light green sign would be the best option.
Always.
And I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to go with my other wrestling channel for the shout-out.
Well, hey, whatever you got to do, but whoever it is that you're promoting, if you want, just a little word of advice, whatever show you're promoting, it's always better to go with the color. I had one person who did this awesome sign. It was for my show. And this was a couple months ago. And he sent me the pictures on Facebook, and he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, this looks amazing. But it was on, it was like a black sign. It was on a black background. And a lot of the colors were dark colors. And I didn't have the heart to tell him, like, you shouldn't have done that. But I don't think anybody saw anything that night. So, yeah, if you're going to put something together, just word to the wise, always go for that, like, neon green or bright yellow. And that way you can identify your sign on TV. Where are you going to be sitting? Because unless you're in the first, like, five rows, it probably won't even matter.
It's going to be... probably the next seats in front of the cameras.
Okay.
All so right. I may get John Moxley coming out, maybe, but it's, or Jericho. It's really up if they're gonna do that. But I have a really goofy question for you.
Okay.
I made a little meme in a wrestling channel, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. But what's your idea on Bailey, but with the storyline of Sting.
With the storyline of what?
And of Sting, like WCW Sting.
Oh,
so
Sting.
Bailey paints the face, and she's up in the Raptors and all that stuff. And do you think there's like any characters that currently WWE characters right now that could do something similar to previous storylines?
Right. Yeah, because I completely misunderstood what you said at first. I thought you were proposing a storyline involving Bayley and Sting. I was going to say, what kind of crack are you smoking there? I said, that's a terrible idea, but that at least makes a little more sense. Bayley painting her face as a Sting-type character? I don't think that's a good idea. And what would she do exactly? I mean, she's not going to come out of the rafters. We know that. WWE doesn't do that anymore. So what exactly? And first of all, here's my other question: isn't she still the SmackDown Women's Champion? Now, when Sting painted his face and got all emo, and would hide out in the rafters, it was because he felt like WCW had betrayed him. Right? They thought that Lex Luger, his friends, everybody thought that Sting had turned against them when he really didn't, and he was offended by this, and he was pissed off about it. And so he went, he started hiding up in the rafters. Bailey is the champion. I mean, this would be like Sting winning the WCW title from Hollywood Hogan as Surfer Sting. And then after winning the championship, he starts painting his face black and white and hiding up in the rafters. Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'm not sure what her motivation would be to do that. It would seem to me that if she's the champion, she should be happy. Right? I mean, I would be. Now that you've mentioned this, though, I have to say I am intrigued at the possibility of a storyline involving Bailey and Sting. How would they get to that point? I mean, does Sting take an interest in Bailey? Does he have a thing for Bailey? And is courting her on TV? I mean, surely he could be medically cleared to, you know, court one of the women on TV, as long as he's not taking bumps. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Thank you for the call. We can end on something. I can't end on that. Let's go out of the country. I'm leaving the country after that question. We're going to go to 647. Oh, my God. I hear feedback in the background. 647.
Hey.
Hello.
Am I on air?
You are on the air.
Yes. Hey. Hey, Salamanca. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Shamar.
Hey, Shamar.
Hey. Don't mind the background noise. I'm just playing WWE 2K19 right now.
Well, better than 2K20.
Of course. First off, I got I hope you don't mind me seeing your praise, Solid Monster. I really do like your show. I like how critical you are, and you're one of the most logical people that I could one can listen to.
Well, that's what this world like needs. Show, this man. World needs more logic. So I'm doing my part.
Exactly. And I commend you for that.
Thank you.
Second of all, I just want to ask you a quick question. There's this little indie wrestler out there. You know, his name is Triple H. You know, he's not an indie wrestler, but I was just trying to be clever for a second there. But Triple H, what is your overall opinion of the guy? Because I don't really have much respect for him. The only reason why he got in, the only reason why he even got to be a main event caliber wrestler is really because of all the connections that he's formed. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know what you mean. Thank you for the call. I don't know what you mean by connections. I assume you mean because he married into the McMahon family. So here's my thoughts on Triple H. Triple H is a savvy guy, always has been. There's been stories about him playing politics and playing games backstage going back to the late 90s. He's a smart guy. He did what a lot of main event guys did back in their day when he was on top, and he looked out for himself. And that probably had a lot to do with the success that he had, right? We heard stories about him sitting in on booking meetings even in the late 90s, long before they did the storyline with him and Stephanie. Then once he got together with Stephanie, he was a made man. As soon as he married into the family, you knew he wasn't going anywhere. But to say that you don't have any respect for him, I mean, that's taking it to another level. I wouldn't say I don't have respect for him. He was smart. He was a smart guy. I do think that his place as a headliner is overrated. And I believe, and I've said this on the show before, and I actually think it was something Jim Cornette originally said many years ago. And if it is, I'll give him credit for it, and I agree with him. Triple H was, and always will be, not the guy. He was the guy who worked with the guy. He was not an Austin. He was not a Rock. He was not a Hogan. You might even say he wasn't a Cena to some degree. Although you'd probably have a lot of younger fans who might disagree. They grew up with Cena and Triple H as the top stars in the company in the mid to late 2000s. But traditionally speaking, I will always look at Triple H as being a step below a lot of those guys. No matter how hard they try to position him as being this all-time great, look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the top stars in the history of the company. He has cemented his place. But he was the guy who worked with the guy. That was always his spot. Now, as an executive, I think he's creating this whole other legacy for himself. And all the success that NXT has, he gets to take credit for, because NXT is his baby. So they're building around NXT, and he's not stupid. He knows that. So he gets to take credit for all things NXT because he helped create what has become really the premier brand and the premier show in WWE. NXT every week, I didn't see it this week yet, but NXT every week kicks ass. It's the best WWE show they produce each and every week. That's a Triple H show. He can take credit for that. Now, when the day comes that Vince McMahon kicks the bucket and he's out of the picture, he's probably going to have his chance to step up to the plate and take control of the entire company. And we're going to find out how smart he really is. We're going to find out how good of a booker and a writer and a leader he really is. When he gets out of Full Sail with his little NXT roster and he's running Raw and SmackDown. Until that happens, I have no idea. Is he going to be able to step into Vince's shoes and things are going to magically change all of a sudden? And he's going to start pushing all the people that everybody likes and everyone's going to... It's going to be like you flip a switch? I don't think so. I think certain things are going to change, hopefully for the better. He's an old school guy. He was the guy pushing for years to have War Games, and Vince resisted, so he said, fuck it, we're going to do War Games in NXT. If he thinks along those lines, I think he can make some positive changes, and whenever he's done, he will have created this whole other legacy for himself. And that's kind of how I view the position that he's in right now. But the reason he's in that spot is absolutely because he married into the family. I don't see how anybody could deny this. That is the only reason that he is in the position he's in as an executive. Otherwise, he would be the legend they trot out for these Saudi shows, giving him Saudi Arabia payday so he can come back and wrestle The Undertaker and wrestle Bill Goldberg. And he'd have been in the Hall of Fame by now. But that's the only reason he's in the position he's in now. I don't blame him. You would have done the same thing. Stephanie was cute. Still is. Anyway, let's wrap up that part of the call. Let's wrap up that part of the show. Not just the call. And take a look at these polls one more time here. AEW poll. 73 up, 27 down. NXT, 78. 78 up, 22 down for NXT. Thank you guys so much for joining me here tonight for this Dynamite party. Another good episode, I thought. Not great, but a solid show. We've got two more weeks, and then they're off for the Christmas break. You can follow me on Twitter at Solomonster. I will be back with a brand new full podcast on all the usual platforms. If you're wondering what those platforms are, wonder no more. There you go. It's on the bottom of your screen. See all the logos. You can get the full shows. Episode 629 drops on Sunday. I will be doing commentary for the House of Glory show, color commentary, on Saturday night. That is the 9th anniversary show for HOG. Ric Flair was going to be our big guest on Saturday, and he just pulled out. We just got word today that he pulled out of the show. I'm not sure why. Hopefully everything is okay. He was just on the Starcade show on Sunday. So he will not be at the HOG show. But we got a lot of other things planned. Hey, Charlie Caruso is going to be at the HOG show. Chuck. Chuck is coming to HOG on Saturday. And we got a main event of Private Party and the Lucha Bros. Yeah, you might have heard about these guys tonight when I was doing my Dynamite review. Pentagon and Phoenix, they're going to be defending the HOG tag team titles against Private Party coming up on Saturday night. So if you're in the New York area, hopefully you'll come on down, say hello. It's going to be a fun time. I will see you back here for another Dynamite review next Wednesday. That is for the Young Bucks and Santana Ortiz in a Texas street fight. And hopefully we'll get to see The Butcher and The Blade. You know who I missed tonight? You know who we didn't get to see tonight? Wardlow. What would happen if Wardlow ran into The Butcher and The Blade? I don't know. Maybe we'll get to find out one of these days. Take it easy, guys. I'll see you next week.